touchdown Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
What's going on, everybody? It's Titans Unfiltered with Music City Miracles here, back at it again with another episode. I will say it's a lot more like inspiring and easier for us to get on the microphone and kind of talk Titans football after a victory. And we'll go over a few things that we seen that we liked and that we didn't like. But Nick, what was your overall feeling coming out of that game last week?
I said to some buddies after the game, I think that first half of Titans football is the best I've seen that offense look since probably 2020. Better than any point last year, I'd say.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
The way that they were able just to kind of come out driving through, I'll say, no, the Chiefs game last year, I'll say it's pretty close.
Chiefs game last year, yeah. That's probably mm-hmm. true.
Yeah. But it was drive after drive after drive after drive, and they were they were definitely sharp. And Henry being involved in the passing game worked. Like, it's just whatever it takes to move the ball and they like to get away from what the defense is kind of ready for, which is Henry up the middle or Henry toss, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, especially after what we saw from the Bills game, the way they came out, and they pretty much couldn't be stopped that first half. They did whatever they wanted. Tannehill looked excellent. And, you know, like you said, they got Henry the ball. And I think they realized like the run game isn't quite what it used to be, but we got to figure out ways to get him in space. Cause you know, we saw people talking about, oh, is Henry on the decline? When he can still get the ball in space, it's very clear what he can do. He's just getting hit, you know, 2 yards behind the line and falling forward for no yards gain.
Right.
And we saw, he didn't bust any huge ones, but we saw him put together some chunks that he hadn't done before. So that was encouraging. But the flip side of that is how they looked in the second half. I mean, I think the total now on the season is they're outscored 57-7. And so it's kind of like, what's going on there? That's such – they were the best offense in the first half of last week's games and, like, I think third or fourth worst in the second half. Like, that's a huge shift. Like, I can understand how good they were playing wasn't sustainable, but, like – fall in like middle of the range or something, but they would just totally drop off the cliff.
Yeah, there's not enough adjustments that a defensive coordinator can do that you should have a drop like that. And it's been that way all season.
Yep.
Like the Giants game, the Bills game. The Bills game, they kind of spread it off right before the half. And like the Bills, of course, we know what happened after that. But then like you go in this Raiders game and they just – the first half, I'm just like, man, like I absolutely love – being in the stadium for the first half of Titans games because it's phenomenal.
Yeah, just leave it halftime.
Yeah, second half, I'm like, golly, man, I could have got a head start on the walk. Hey, we're not going to do anything else on offense? Nothing. It's crazy. And I think that, I mean, it's putting us in a spot to where we're just having to kind of squeak out these wins and it makes it look like we're playing the competition. I just think that we have something that we're doing. We're taking some kind of foot off some pedal. Or it's supposed to be if we're at this kind of point, at this point, like we'll try to do this and kind of milk the clock when it should just be go for it. Like, let's go.
Well, I'll credit Will Lomas for putting this theory out there that, like, Tim Kelly is slowly becoming the shadow offensive coordinator. Because Vrabel had talked about how he had gotten Kelly more involved with the run game, as well as Keith Carter. And so – if Kelly's responsible for like drawing up the passing game and he's now more involved with the running game, it's like, what is Todd Downing doing?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I put a tweet out during the second quarter. I was like, it's Tim Kelly calling play. Like, yeah. What the hell's going on?
But it's all like the scripted stuff they can prepare for beforehand. That's why they look so good when they come out, because Kelly, I think, is probably giving him like, hey, here's a set of plays. And then once Downing's on his own, he doesn't know what to do. And I think that's where he struggles the most, is like a lot of his play call design is pretty smart. He just doesn't have like the play calling finesse or know how to adjust to the other team's adjustments. Like you said, the other, the Raiders probably went into halftime, like, we're getting killed. We need to start doing this, this, and this. And Downing probably just went in like, well, that was, that was good, huh? Should we try that again, or should we just stop doing all the stuff that worked? I don't know. Like, he doesn't prepare for their adjustments. He just like still has his plan, and then when it doesn't work, he just, you know, it's like hitting his head against a brick wall. And so there's no like all right, maybe they get stoned on the first drive or two, but then, you know, by the third one in the second half, he should be adjusting. And to be fair, there were like a couple of plays that stalled those drives, like Treylon Burks. The throw was a little bit behind him because Tannehill was in pressure, so he had to get it off quick. But he like randomly jumped. I think if he stays on his feet, he can make that catch behind him. And then Austin Hooper catching it all by himself for the first down and then just kind of laying there instead of like reaching out or rolling or something that could have continued the drive. So there were a couple things that kind of stalled it. But yeah, that's just something. It makes it really stressful as a Titans fan, because no matter how well you do in the first half, you're like, all right, the storm's coming in the second. Like, are we going to be able to survive it? So
if I had a photographic memory, I'm 102% sure that I could go back to last year when we were doing this podcast, and you've said before that Todd Downing goes to the second half and he just doesn't know how to adjust when somebody else adjusts. And we like, I feel like you have to be a broke. You like, you bring it up all the time and everybody else knows it, but yet nothing happens. I'm like, what? It's like, something's got to happen. And I mean, and I know we've had the conversation, like, it might be the last year that Todd Downing is off the coordinator. They might just move to Tim Kelly and just, everybody will just, we'll just act surprised. I'm okay with that. If that's what you got to do. But until then, let Tim Kelly stay super involved, because we're not stupid. We know that his involvement has to do a lot with the way that some of that stuff looked, because of how some of that stuff looked. That was like, they're like making Tannehill look like a quarterback that can actually, he's like picking apart defenses going down the field. We've never done that. That's not what we do.
Well, I will say though, like all the play action though, he did that when he first came in with Arthur Smith. And that's where Tannehill is at his best. He can pick apart the play action. But last year, Downing didn't like run any play action, which was so dumb, because it's like, hey, what does Tannehill do best? Play action.
Right.
Let's not do that at all this year. It was just the dumbest thing he could do. But
especially whenever we had Foreman, who they had to respect. Like, so it would have worked. Like, but that's just because Henry's not back there. It's like, all right, well, obviously we got to change it up a little bit. Well, you didn't have to. I mean, we still Foreman was still eating. He was eating the Bengals up. If you just ride him, if you just would have rolled him in that game, give him 30 carries like Henry, we probably win and we're facing the Chiefs. It's just those little small things in those kind of games. But Burks across the middle, it was so funny because I felt like he thought it was going to be high and outside. Yeah. And he was like, oh, snap, it's actually in the breadbasket here. So I feel like that's what he's used to. Like, he's still got to, like, get that rookie mentality out of his head. Yeah. Like, you don't want it high. You don't want it high coming across the middle anyway, kid. You're going to get killed. Yeah.
You can definitely still see, like, as well as Tannehill played, there's definitely still, like, some growing pains with his receivers. Like, that picky through, it looked really bad. But if you look at the route Woods ran, Tannehill expected him to cut towards the sideline more. And Woods took it further upfield. And so that was it's just like miscommunication and like not having that relationship with the other guy and like knowing where the other guy is going to go.
Right.
And same with, you know, Burks and the rookies. So it is encouraging. And I tweeted out the stats that like the Titans passing game is ranked so much higher than their run game right now. And it's kind of one of those things like, the teams are just cheating because they know we want to run it with Henry so bad. So like, make them pay for it, keep doing it until they back off and then you run Henry. So especially like our pass blocking, not being as well as it could be, but the pass blocking was actually okay. Dennis Daly like showed up. I was like all the way out on him after he came in for LaJuan, but maybe that full week of practice helped him out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody's had a conversation with him where they're like, hey, man, listen, like, it's your time right now where you really have a chance to get a roster spot. We don't know what's going to happen with LaJuan after this year.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those situations where, like, hey, man, like, you really got a chance to, like, make your name for yourself. Just going in and grade solid. You're not going to be perfect because you're going to be going up against some studs, obviously coming off of that blind side. But just do what you need to do. And if they put him in a position to where he can, where he doesn't have to go one-on-one when we're facing, like, TJ Water or something crazy like that, then I mean, the kid held his own, and Tannehill had the time that he needed to do what he needed to do, yeah. And it looked fantastic first half. It was aggressive. We put up the points quick, and then then we go from that, and then all of a sudden our defense is like holding on for dear life once again. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, Byard came through big. I saw a lady at Publix here, and after the game, she was like, "I was so glad that Kevin stepped up. I was worried about him after, you know, 2 years ago." I was like, "Yeah, I was like, he's fine. Trust me. It's just we have to be able to get pressure on the quarterback for him to make those kind of plays." That one, of course, was lucky because it got tipped up, and I mean, he's gonna be opportunistic, which is cool that he got that interception. So he got his
on the 100th. Yeah, on the 100th game. Yeah, Byard, I still don't think has looked as good as he did last year. I think he's at his best when he can, like, depend on his cornerbacks. And, like, when those guys aren't following their assignments, I think he, like, tries to do too much and doesn't play to the best of his ability. And Fulton being back was huge. He looked great. But Terrence Mitchell over on the other side got absolutely worked by Mac Hollins. Like,
That man was getting cooked like a well-done steak, boy.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. And he's not like a rookie either. He's like 30 years old. Like he should be able to handle his own a little bit better than he did. I get it's on a short week, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they give Farley only had one snap, and that's when Christian Fulton got hurt. So if you're only getting one snap, especially with how much the Titans rotate people, you like got to be in the doghouse, not necessarily for like acting the wrong way, but just not knowing what you're doing. And I think that's at the root of it. And like, I think people are like, "Oh, he gets burned one time, he's out." I don't think Vrabel cares about Farley getting burned. I think there's a lot of plays where Farley just looks lost. And if Vrabel doesn't think you can do your job, then he's not going to put you out there, right or wrong. I mean, I kind of think you just got to let Farley take his lumps, but I bet where Vrabel is coming from is that, you know, the defense is so intricate. Everybody's working in unison. And if one guy isn't doing his job, the chances for the defense to succeed on a play-to-play basis is pretty low.
Right.
So he'd rather put in a guy who's knows what to do and then hope he can succeed than rather a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, because then the chances of him succeeding are lower. So I kind of get where he's coming from, but at the same time, you have this first round rookie who like has barely played since 2019 because of injuries and sitting out for the pandemic. Like, you got to do it at some point. Like, you can't just get him up to speed playing in the preseason. So I'll be interested to see, you know, if it's a lot more Mitchell this time, or if maybe it's a little bit more of a split against Indy.
Yeah. I'm having a brain fart, but I was trying to think of the guy's name, but our leading tackler for the past 2 weeks is a cornerback. What's his name? You know, let me
see. McCreary.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been solid as well.
Yeah.
But he's been playing more in the slot, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as a rookie, like the fact that we don't have to talk to him on a week, but I think he had a bad pass interference. But that's like really the only play I can think of through like 3 weeks that was like glaringly bad. So pretty good on his part.
Yeah, he's definitely holding his own over there.
But yeah, I think the Titans got bailed out on a couple things. I saw a cut up of Davante Adams just being open a bunch of times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Derek Carr not throwing to him. So I'll take that. You can throw it to Mac Collins instead. That's fine by me.
There was a bunch of people that were sitting around me that were pissed off when he scored that touchdown. I was like, if you guys thought we were going to leave here without him scoring once,
you're
out of your minds, guys.
Yeah, he's going to get one.
I said, we're blessed right now with how little they're actually just forcing it to him. Because they didn't force it. They barely forced it to him. They barely forced it to Wall. I'm like, what is going on? I thought for sure. This should have been a bet the over game in a heartbeat against our secondary. I thought Adams was going to get two. Waller was going to bust us up for one, and we were going to have to just keep scoring. But the second half, I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm just talking about the negative stuff. I do think that the team, I mean, a win is a win. And the way that they looked in the first half was pretty encouraging. Like, they didn't give up too much on defense. And it's only natural that the defense is going to wear down when the offense is not doing anything at all. So, yeah, I mean, it's just nice to be in the win column, you know. I think we're still third in the division. Mm-hmm. But big one coming up this weekend. Jacksonville randomly looks pretty good. So that might complicate things a little bit, but getting the win column, they've been doing good things on offense. So it's kind of like one of those things that I hope they can build on going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Jacksonville, they want it. They're acting like they're back or something. I don't know what's going on. I mean, the kid, Robinson out there, come back from an ACL and he looks faster than he was.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't
know. Not understand. Even ACL and Achilles. Those are even like, Achilles, well, even worse. Yeah, I don't know how he's doing that.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, I partially tore mine and I can't, I don't even try to run full speed anymore. This kid looks like he's running a 4.1 out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And this is the guy, Urban benched for Carlos Hyde, who I don't think is in the league right now. But like, it's pretty crazy how good, like, I don't think Peterson is like the best coach in the league by any means, but like, he's a competent
coach.
And so like, it's crazy how just having like a competent coach can make such a big difference.
Mm-hmm. And I mean that, which is one of the reasons that like everybody thinks that we're going to be in every big game, because they've seen what Rabel's been able to do over his career. Yeah. It just puts us in a position where the highs are so high that sometimes we just got to realize, hey, he can be the best coach in the world. Sometimes the players still got to make plays.
Yeah.
Which is why hopefully this week we can kind of iron it out. I mean, they're obviously watching the film where somebody's got to be like, what is happening in the second half that's different from the first half? That first half team definitely can hang with anybody.
Yep.
So when we go into this Colts game, obviously Matt Ryan actually woke up at it and looked 100 times better. Taylor's still Taylor. So we know that we got to contain that. And we can't have ourselves a Saquon Barkley situation like we had week one. So containing Taylor and finding a way to kind of make Matt Ryan make some kind of mistakes are going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I can't really get a feel for the Colts. I mean, they come off getting whooped by the Jags and then beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs, I will say, like, from what I've seen, I didn't get to watch the game. It seems like they really screwed it up, like, with some of the go for it situations and then just plays like that left that kept the Colts in it. Like, I saw, like, didn't Chris Jones like taunt Matt Ryan at like the end of a drive and that advanced it and the Colts went on to score that one? After a sack or something. Yeah, there was like a bunch of, and then the kicking situation with Butker being out and all that stuff. Like, I do think that the Chiefs should have won that game, but like you said, the Colts kind of woke up a little bit. So in terms of like the Titans, one thing the Colts did really well last week was defend the run. No, I think I saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 7 carries for 0 yards.
Wow.
Which, you know, he's not a Derrick Henry level runner, but I think that was the consensus of all their running backs. Like, they averaged like 2 yards a carry. So for a team that's kind of like struggled with the run today, like, how are we going to get Henry going? Are we going to do a bunch more screens? You know, the Colts will probably be looking for that. So I'll be interested to see how, are we going to continue to try to get the run going or just start leaning? Like, is it time to start leaning on the passing game? I think
we're running 5 wide the whole game. Henry at the slot.
Yeah. And I mean, it's working. I'm not making this 5 wides, but
no.
The pass game is much more effective than the run game right now. And it's going to be interesting to see how that progresses as the season goes, because the Titans love to run the damn ball. And so, like, how long do you waste, like, trying to get that going versus, like, the pass game's working. Maybe we just need to, like, reinvent ourselves. So,
it's crazy. It's crazy because Derrick Henry is the staple of this team. But at the same time, the way that they played slinging the ball so much in that first half is literally the type of team that the fans have died for the longest. And now that it's happening, it's like one of those situations where everybody's kind of like, it's awesome. We'd like to still see Derrick Henry go off. But that passing game, when it was clicking like that, the reason that they said we can't win Super Bowl is because we need a quarterback. And now he's slinging the ball over the place. So I can't knock it if it's working. If he comes in and starts making a few mistakes, and obviously we ain't trying to see that. But right now, I mean, if the plays are in there, we're finding people that are open. Robert Woods started to look a little healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some plays to be made in there. They want to get Burks more involved. But at the same time, I mean, you find some plays to get him open, let him get out in the open field. I mean, he's a strong guy. I'm sure he could be a good yak guy. And sure. I think we're in pretty good shape. I want Kyle Phillips to get healthy, get back in there so he can do his thing. And then you know what you're going to get out of Westbrook Ikhine. I mean, he's good for about three catches. And he'll get you
a couple first downs. Yeah, that's all. He's the one guy I feel like that him and Tannehill actually have a pretty good connection. Like, and that's why he's, I think, like majority of his catches are on third down because he knows like what spot to get to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, I think Woods woke up a little bit. He probably just wasn't. I mean, he had a late ACL tear and he's older, so that's going to take a while for him to get his legs under him and both, like, you know, we talked about earlier, just have that relationship with Tannehill. The good thing about Burks is I think he had only one catch, but he ran like the most routes that he's run to date. So like, it's coming. It's, you know, it's not there yet, but he's working his way in. And one of these days he's just going to blow up, and it'd be great if it happened against the Colts.
Yeah, it would be.
But yeah, I think their defensive front is going to give them some problems. We'll see if Daly and MPF hold up again. But the run defense is definitely going to be stout.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see exactly what happens. It doesn't take a whole lot to get Henry going. So I could, and obviously I think that his game, his mindset right now is figure out a way to kind of, to just get me a hole. Cause I got to do it. Eventually he's got to be tired of seeing it, tired of hearing it. And I know that he wants to do it. And the Colts is always one of those games where he's usually good for one crazy run.
Yeah.
I know that he's expecting it. So they gotta be able to get him to the second level. He gets to the second level. Yeah. It'd be great.
Yeah.
The one time he got to the second level against the Raiders, I mean, he busted one, but it's just all about getting him to the second level. So without it taking 25, 30 carries before he gets there. I mean, we couldn't even imagine trying to get him that many carries now because, I mean, teams have it stuff just shut down.
Right. I was kind of laughing because, you know, like Downing was rightfully criticized for like that third down conversion attempt against the Giants. Remember like the end around with Chase?
Yeah.
And it is funny to me when people are like, just give it to Henry up the middle. It's not that hard. And so, like, Downing did it this time and he gets stuffed like 2 yards behind the line. Like, it's not that simple. And I think it's kind of hard when teams know they're going to give it to him because our offensive line isn't good enough to like to block our way out of that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Yeah. In short yardage, like what they're going to want to do.
Everybody's yelling, why don't you do play action?
Yeah. It's whatever works is great. Whatever doesn't work is wrong. Like no matter what it is. But I am encouraged. Like we talked about, they found ways to get him the ball. So hopefully, you know, Todd Downing's just sitting in the back of the room while Tim Kelly leads stuff. Cause I think that's really the key to our success there. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't think we've heard about Zach Cunningham yet, but the fact that his arm was heavily bandaged and we signed Joe Sherbert. I don't know. I think it's Scobert, but I like Sherbert better. That's not a great sign for like a linebacker group that's already struggled stopping the run and with facing Jonathan Taylor. So Taylor only averaged like 3.5 carries against, you know, the Chiefs last week, which isn't that good for him. I don't think he did. I think his only like good week was week one. So it's either that's going to continue or he's going to revert back. Like this is going to be his bounce back game kind of for Henry. So if Jonathan Taylor is tearing us up like Saquon did, that's going to be a tough game to win.
Yeah, it is. And then you're going to have to, it's going to have to go back to Tannehill kind of doing his thing. I personally feel like that Tannehill's going to have a really good game against the Colts. And like in essence of the fact that like, yeah, I want Henry to kind of do his thing, but I just think as the year progresses that people are just going to be like, we're going to say that Tannehill had one of those seasons where it's like he put us in position where we can kind of stay in games because I just think that the way that the offense is looking is kind of revolving around that. I don't know if that is a little bit of just a change in the play call and whatever you want to call it, but his throws are sharp. The receivers are finding spots and teams are so focused on not letting Henry kind of get loose that it's just, we're taking what they give us, but every once in a while, there's a crossing route that's good for 30, 40 yards. Next thing you know, the offense is clicking. So I don't know. Like, it's sometimes you just kind of, you got to kind of accept the fact that if we got to get in a spot where we kind of have to come out and throw it on everything, like on every single down on the drive, it's kind of working. Go play action a couple of times, then that's what we got to do. Yeah. We got to get the W is more important than the stat line. And I know that everybody wants to see Henry kind of get going. But if so, if teams are putting 8-9 in the box and you only got one safety in the middle, they're open, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to look real quick. I think Mahomes didn't have a super big day against them, but they seemed to pass the ball relatively easy. And then if you look at the Jags the week before, I mean, Trevor Lawrence went 25 for 30 for 235 and two touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, Christian Kirk kind of had his way. And whereas James Robinson, who we saw had such a good week last week, he only averaged 2.8 yards per carry. Mm. So I think that run defense is going to be good. So yeah, you got to hope that they're going to come in to this week with like a plan to pass the ball. Cause if we're just going to hope that the run game shows up this week, I don't think that's going to work.
No. It doesn't sound like it. Not if they're holding it. I'm going to tell you right now, if they hold James Robinson, then I mean, Henry is fast as fuck, but James Robinson is quick, man.
Yeah, he's a little bowling ball.
Yeah, if he can't even get to the hole, then Henry's big tail and get to the hole. They're shutting that down. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got strength, but like I said, you got to get to the second level for it to work. And apparently, the Colts' run defense is it this year. So we're gonna have to find ways to kind of get the passing game kind of going. And I mean, it could be one of those games where Burks has his moment where he can kind of make some plays, get in the end zone. And I mean, we'll see exactly what happens. But yeah, I would say you probably need 28 to 30 passes from Tannehill in the situation if they really are shutting it down. I mean, he's got to step up. Trevor Lawrence, however, I will say that I think that we're finally starting to see the quarterback that we all kind of thought he could be.
He is no
slouch. He has a coach now. They kind of got a game plan. They're semi-healthy, and I think that now, like, he's able to kind of show off a little bit of that talent. The game's slowing down to him, and he's able to kind of ball a little bit. Now, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody that he's not a bust.
Right.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah, he's definitely not. But I think, you know, if we're looking at the other side of the ball, we were talking about Matt Ryan. I think a big key to this week is going to be getting pressure on the quarterback. And so it looks like Bud Dupree might be back, which is going to be huge. And they signed They send the guy off like a practice squad. He used to be on the Bears and the Raiders. He might be helping out as well. He's kind of like an Autry type guy. He can play all over the line. Okay. But the pass rush needs to be better. You know, if we're talking about how the Jags and the Colts were, I think the Jags had 5 sacks on Matt Ryan. So that's part of the reason why they had so much success is putting pressure on him. He can't move very well. And his wide receivers, like, Pittman's his best guy. None of those guys are really creating a ton of separation. So I think that's part of the reason why we've seen the secondary struggle so much too, is because we've had zero pass rush. Quarterbacks have had all the kinds of time to get to the ball. Like, Autry and Simmons are doing the best they can, and Weaver has had a couple good moments, but like, Simmons is getting like triple teamed at times.
Yeah.
So there's only like so much you can do when they don't respect other guys on the line. And so they're comfortable giving Weaver that one-on-one. But even getting Bud Dupree in the game, that's someone else to think about and can help free up Simmons. So yeah, that's going to be huge if he's able to go, because I think that's the reason why. Let's see here. I don't think that the Chiefs were able to get much pressure on him.
Yeah, I know that Bud.
Actually, they had 5 sacks too. So
there you go, man.
But there is, I mean, Matt Ryan still wasn't like super remarkable, but I think, yeah, we just gotta if the offensive line for the Colts is struggling that much protecting the passer, like it kind of reminds me of 2 years ago. Remember the offensive line was so bad, or the defensive pass rush was so bad, and
nothing.
We'd play teams where like the offensive, like I remember playing the Bengals, who at that time had like all practice squatters, and it's like, all right, if we don't get any sacks now, like it's not going to happen. And then they like, they would have given up 7 sacks a week before and then stonewall us for 0. So I'm not going to get my hopes up that we're going to have another 5 sack effort, even though the two previous teams have, but that's something that we're going to have to take advantage of if we're going to win the game.
How much you know about the linebacker we signed, Joe, I can't say his last name.
Sherbert.
Yeah.
His name is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been a pretty solid player at times. Played for Pittsburgh. I think the Browns. He's solid as far as like, you know, signing guys off practice squads. That's a pretty good one. Better than like a Terrence Mitchell equivalent. At the very least, like he's an upgrade over Dylan Cole, who actually made some pretty big plays in for Cunningham last week. He had a couple tips, but he's a special teamer. Whereas like Schobert, like has started as a linebacker for, you know, multiple seasons in this league. So just having, if nothing else, like a smart guy out there who knows what to do, that was a pretty good pickup.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did see Bud Dupree was talking to Teron, and he was talking about the increase of intensity for this week. So it sounds like he's practicing. So if we definitely can get him out there, I'm still extremely impressed with Weaver. And yeah, the way that he's kind of been able to hold his own. He's been able to make plays, getting pressure late downs. I think that he's doing his part for what we need. Obviously, you can't replace missing your top leading pass rusher at the same time. But what they've been able to kind of do isn't that bad. They were able to get enough pressure on Derek Carr to kind of keep things going. And I think that going into this week, if we can get those pressures, and like I said, we got to force Matt Ryan into making some mistakes. Mm. It's gonna be huge.
Making mistakes, and like the secondary just needs to step up. Like you can't get, you know, it's one thing put Fulton on Pittman. He can hopefully slow him down or at least contain him. And you know, McCreary, I'll be interesting to see if they keep McCreary in the slot or play him more outside. I'm trying to even think. I guess they have Doolin. I'm not super familiar with like the Colts underwhelming wide receivers, but the guy I was going to mention is Alec Pierce, the rookie out of Cincinnati, who I really liked. Was, you know, ran like, I think just under a 4.4s, big, fast. Mm. And I think he had like 70 yards against the Colts, 60 yards, average 20 yards a reception. So he's kind of the same build as Mac Hollins was last week, but I think faster. Or I don't know, Mac Hollins pretty fast, but same type of player. And so if that's the case and they're keeping Terrence Mitchell on it, you know, I would expect them to try and feed Pierce similarly. So it's all going to depend on what that second cornerback, whether it's Terrence Mitchell or Farley, is going to do. Because if we're not getting pressure, then Matt Ryan is pretty good when he's got enough time to throw the ball.
Yeah, he can still sling it around back there. So when you're looking at this game, and you obviously we've talked about a lot when it comes down to it, what do you think the key is going to be to kind of coming out of here with a W? We're underdogs in this, and 3.5 points. Obviously, any betting man knows that you get 3 points when you're home. So essentially a touchdown underdog in this one. So if you – to make up that gap, what do you think we need to do?
I think consistent offensive play, right? Like, you got to score points in the second half. I saw someone else post that the Colts have actually been terrible in the first half. So key's going to be scoring points early again. And then continue to score points, because the Colts will mount a comeback eventually, but you can't just put up 21 in the first half and batten down the hatches and hope it holds,
man.
So I don't know how they can fix, you know, making better adjustments. I don't know if like that's just a downing thing he's got to get over, but he hasn't gotten over in almost, you know, a season and a half here. So outside of like Tim Kelly fully taking over, you got to hope that the defense holds, and a big key to that is going to be stopping Taylor and getting pressure on Ryan. So I think if they can do those things, I think we'll win the game.
Yeah. I think the play action has to be effective, and the secondary has to be like on their game. I think if we can stop the big plays, not let Pittman get loose, and the play action's there, and Tannehill stays sharp with the ball like he has been, then I think that this game is a little bit closer than what the bookmakers may think it is. I think that if the Colts lose against the Chiefs in that game that they should have, I think, lost anyway, that I think that people are probably looking at this game a little different, but because of them coming out and beating the Chiefs when the Chiefs have looked fantastic, I think that weighs in this game a lot. So yeah. What have you done for me lately, league? And lately, the Colts came out with a huge victory, and we were a 2-point conversion away from having to go into OT against the Raiders in that one. So even if I said the Raiders were one of the best 0-3 teams that I've seen, that game, we handily had looked really, really sharp in that game. And in the second half, we disappeared. So that can't keep happening. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to find ourselves in tough situations there.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm sure you got the feeling when you were at the stadium. You just get that pit in your stomach when you every Titans fan knows when it's happening, right? Like, he's doing so, and it doesn't even have to be like a major play, right? It's just like, oh God, here we go. Like, when Hooper didn't get that first down, that's when it turned, like, my stomach started turning. I'm like, well, they're going to put together a really big drive, aren't they? And, like, sure enough, they came down and we got lucky at the end. I mean, it was kind of like vintage bend but don't break defense there for a while, like, which I think Grable wants to do. The only flaw is, like, you have a practice squad cornerback as part of that. And, like, the Mac Hollins was literally the only thing that was breaking the defense. So if you can just, I think that's what's going to happen. I think Taylor's going to get his, and then you get down in the red zone and, Matt Ryan can't move around or make plays with his legs or have the arm to fit it in a tight pocket. It's like, just let them kick field goals with their new field goal kicker and hope that's enough. So that's what kind of I expect about the defense. It's more bend but don't break, but hopefully less breaking this time.
Yeah, a little less breaking. That's for daggum sure. Because if you take away that, interception by Byard, we're in a little spot right there. So, but once again, I mean, turnovers in big positions in big games are how you get wins. So, win the turnover battle, get pressure, and just stay sharp, and I think we'll be all right. So, we'll see what happens. All right, score prediction.
Let's go 24-21 Titans.
24-21 Titans. What's the over under in this thing?
Which I guess just went against what I was saying with my bend but don't break. let's say 24-20. Then you got two field goals that way.
24-20. So this is 42.5. I'm going to go 27-17 Titans.
Ooh, a healthy double digit win there, huh?
That's what I'm going to go.
All right.
I mean, that's a TD, I think. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I just I think maybe they're going to kind of fix some of those woes in the second half. And then they're gonna be able to kind of hold and make some stops in this game. So I'm not expecting a crazy high score, but we'll see exactly what happens right there. But hopefully they can pull that out, and we can get out of there and kind of get a little bit more confidence in our division, because the Jacksonville game has me just as nervous as this game now.
I will say, like, Jacksonville looks good and competent and all that, but the Chargers decimated. Like, they've got like 5 to 6 key players who are hurt, and Herbert still made some nice throws, but that he's definitely in pain and not himself. So I'm giving a little asterisk because they lost the Commanders, who suck ass. They beat up on the Colts, and I think the Colts kind of had a fluky game against the Chiefs. So Jacksonville is leaps and bounds better than they were last year. No question about that.
Yeah.
But I think some of the national media are already running away with, oh, Jacksonville's playoff team. And like,
yeah.
Let's pump the brakes. I think they've got, who do they have this weekend? Eagles. That'll be a good test.
Eagles
are legit. So yeah. if they beat the Eagles, I'll be like, all right, they're for real. But the Eagles are punking everybody right now. So.
AJ Brown's gonna have 3 touchdowns in that game, and then our fans are gonna be like, oh man.
If the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year,
oh man.
I'm gonna throw up watching AJ Brown lift Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, it's gonna be nasty.
I will throw up. It's almost like he's so good, like in the fact that they're throwing the ball a lot, like that works, which that's what I know. I'm getting on a tangent here. That's what drove me craziest when he was here. Like he'd have 120 yards on like 6 targets. It's like give him 12 and see what happens.
I bet
it'll be good. So now they're finally do that. We'll see if, you know, his body holds up over the whole year with that kind of workload, but yeah, it's pretty painful.
Yeah. Of course, he's playing with a little chip on his shoulder now, so it helps him a little bit. He's probably already hurt just as they're balling.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's what it is. We got to handle our business, and we'll see what happens. But well, guys, anyway, you listen to podcasts, be sure you subscribe, 5-star review, follow Titans Unfiltered at Unfiltered Titan on Twitter. It's code hate week, so I need everybody to be fired up for this one. It's going to be a good one. Make sure your beer is cold. Make sure your game food is ready. Make sure you're rested for this one, because I think we're going to have ourselves a barn burner. I'll tell you right now, it's going to be another one of those situations where, you know, if you keep a couple Rolaids, a couple antacids close. I don't want anybody having too much heartburn. No strokes. Take your blood pressure medicine. I take mine now, and then make sure that we're ready for this one, because it's going to be a good one. I think that next week when we get on here, we're going to find out exactly if we can right some wrongs when it comes to that second half team. And I want a first half Titan team for 4 quarters. And until I think that's all I got. So until next time, everybody.
Tighten up.